Hey y'all, I'm AJ Reyes, and I am knocking all my shit over. Also, this is Can I Bother You? Welcome to Can I Bother You? If it's your first time here, welcome, welcome. And if you are not a first timer, welcome back. I was recording another episode a couple days ago, and I did this then too. I meant to think of an elevator pitch for the show that I could say in the intro, and I forgot. Welcome to Can I Bother You? The show where I talk to people.
Yeah.
It's a different podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be cute.
I'll work on it and I'll get back to everyone. But
it'll come to you. It'll come to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Listeners, the supportive voice you are hearing is Alyssa Bernal. Welcome, welcome. Oh wait. I forgot to ask, Alyssa, how do you say your last name?
You said it perfectly fine right there, Bernal. But if you want to get spicy with it, it's like Bernal.
Okay. See, there we go. Bernal. Yeah.
Bernal. There you go.
Yay. Okay. Well, welcome, Alyssa. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So everyone, if you don't know, Alyssa is a musician, a singer, a YouTuber with over 671,000 subscribers. I didn't know how high her number was until I checked.
I was like, oh, wow, that was an update for me.
Yay, I'm spreading the knowledge. Yay.
Yeah.
So Alyssa and I met forever ago in passing.
Oh, yes.
I was going to ask, I don't even know if you remember our very first meeting, which was at a Tyler Ward show. You were opening for Tyler Ward, another YouTuber.
No way. I thought we met on set of the video. Go that far back?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Life is crazy.
Right?
Life is nuts. Like, where does the time go? We're old as fuck now.
Oh, God. Well, maybe you are. I'm still 22, okay?
Oh, my. Why did I think that we were, like, close in age? I'm sorry.
because I'm lying about my age.
Oh, my God. Jerk. I should start doing that.
I do it. People will believe you. No one questions me when I tell them I'm 22. No one.
Really?
Yeah.
I think people would believe me. I always get the compliment that you don't look your age unless it's all bullshit to try and get into my pants. I'm just kidding. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, that happens though.
Right? But tell me more about we met on set of Tyler Ward's tour.
Yeah,
I mean, on set. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think, well, first, I do want to say we actually are close in age. I looked it up. You're like 7 days younger than me, because I'm December 5th.
Shut up.
Yeah, same year, December 5th, so, yeah. But,
well, I guess the website isn't very accurate, because we'd be more like, well, my math is shit, but I'm December 22nd.
Oh, I said 7 days, didn't I? My bad. Yeah, that's like 14 days or something.
I'm all, the website isn't accurate. It was you.
Yeah, no, it was me. I'm inaccurate.
I mean, why would anyone expect you to go around just knowing birthdays? But that's interesting. So you're Sagittarius.
Eh? Yes, Sagittarius.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm a Sag Cap, if you were curious.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Like, I don't know enough about astrology to, like,
Neither do I say anything else
about myself. Yeah.
Yeah. It just feels kind of cool. Like, I'm a Sag Cap.
Mm-hmm. Is that because, like, you're on the cusp of
yes.
Capricorn? Or? Okay.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think I'm, like, either right at the beginning or smack in the middle. I can't remember, but.
Nice. Sagittariuses are cool. I define more with the traits of a Sag than a Capricorn. Capricorns don't have a very nice rep, but yeah, we're cool.
Yeah, I think so. I think anytime I hear a description of a Sagittarius, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty accurate. That sounds like me.
Mm-hmm. Free-spirited and all that jazz.
Mm-hmm. Especially the negative traits. I'm not going to list them for y'all people. I don't need to tell you what my red flags are, but the negative traits, I'm like, that's me.
Now I'm curious. You have to remind me now.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it off air.
Damn, they're that bad. All right.
But yes, I think that, I don't know if you remember, but I think that the Tyler Ward tour was in like 2011 or 2012.
Something like that. That sounds right.
It was definitely somewhere in those early 10s, and I think that y'all played here in Austin at Stubbs, I think.
Yes. It was a popular venue, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I remember Sam's... Were you here at the San Antonio show?
No, I didn't go to that one. I actually wasn't... So Alyssa was opening for Tyler Ward, and the reason I even went, I didn't even realize you were playing. My friends were going to see Tyler Ward, and they were like, you want to go? And I asked who else is playing, and I saw that you were opening, and I was like, oh, because I didn't even know who Tyler Ward was, but I was like, I know Alyssa, right. I'll go see her.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, from what I remember, the way that happened was super, super last minute, like... Literally in passing, hey, you want to like open up for the Texas shows? And I was like, hell yeah. and me and my friend Emily, we used to make a whole bunch of videos back in the day. You've probably seen a few of her and them. Anyway, mm-hmm. she offered her guitar playing services and her car, and she was nice enough to drive us around Texas for that show. So shout out to Emily Yanez, who's a new mom.
Oh, congratulations. Hey. Emily.
yeah, definitely some cool memories.
Yeah, and I met Felicia. She was here with you in Austin, so I met her then too.
Oh my god, you have such a good memory. Mine's so bad. I don't remember any of those details.
The irony, the listeners know, they understand the irony of you telling me I have good memory, because my shit memory is all I bitch about. So
really?
I have a terrible memory. It's that kind of thing where it's also like I can remember every lyric to the first Britney Spears album, but like new music I can't remember as well, and it's because, you know, like the younger I was, the better I remember something. So
I feel the same way about Selena's music. Like, mm-hmm. even though I don't speak the language, it's the melodies that like stuck with us as we were like kids growing up. I feel like because of that, our minds are like sponges growing up. So that's my theory.
Yeah.
It's pretty good, right?
Yeah, definitely. For sure. And also when I was 21, which I think is when the show was, I was like, my anxiety hadn't like gotten as bad as it is, and like I was still full of hope, so like it's easier to remember those things.
Don't even get me started on the mental health aspect and it causing memory loss. Mm-hmm. It literally shrinks your brain.
Mm-hmm. Like that's definitely what my deal is now, but I can remember. Mm-hmm. I can remember that I do remember, and like also I can, I don't want to say it's a photographic memory, but I can like see them more, and that helps me remember more. So like I can picture where I was standing when I yelled your name at you. Apologies for that. But
I love that
you were like off stage. I think you had just played, and you and Felicia were walking somewhere off stage. I can't describe it to people, but I can remember like y'all were a ways away, but there was no one in between us, so I was like, oh well, I don't want to like run up to her, but I'll just like shout her name. And so so
did
I just
I
called.
Answer?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we said hello. You gave me a hug. Felicia also gave me a hug. And then...
So funny.
Yeah, it was a fun time. I'm trying to see if I remember anything else from it, but I think that's about it. I just remember it was fun.
And then we met again on set of the video, right?
Yes, it was...
So funny.
It was for Stay, right? That was the song?
Yeah, that never dropped. Mm-hmm. That's all I'll say about it.
Okay. I was going to ask. I was like, do you, like, is there more? Or we can talk off air about that, too.
Yes, we can. Yeah, that was unfortunate. That was my favorite song off that first album of mine. So mm-hmm. it was, yeah, a pity that it never dropped. But it was mm-hmm. a cool experience. A lot of people hung out on set. It was fun.
That was filmed when I think it was the Harlem Shake was popular, so that can tell people sort of what time period that was, because we did it. Like, everyone who was on set did it, and
wow.
A friend of yours
who's
old. Oh, so old. A friend of yours who's also a YouTuber, whose name I don't remember, he filmed it. That's all I remember. But
was he the guy in the lion suit?
Yeah, yeah, him.
Yes. Oh, Kenny.
Kenny. That's his
name. Yes. Yeah. How funny.
Yeah. And I remember people telling me how good an actor I was, just because I will never forget when people tell me that. So
you have the role, the very important role of being passed out drunk in a bathtub, right? Like the morning after, quote, a party. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was me.
Hilarious. Yeah. Hilarious.
When we filmed the part, like the part that shows how I got drunk, I guess. I remember we were standing around in the kitchen and I'm taking fake shots. So there were seven shot glasses full of water. And I was like, y'all, this would kill me. Like if I tried to drink this many, this would just kill me. I would die. But here I am throwing back. And also the shot glasses were freshly washed and someone didn't rinse all the soap out. So the water tasted soapy.
Oh, nasty. No.
And I'm just knocking him back. And then I finish, but no one's calling cut. And so I'm there, like, you know, people are yelling and I'm like doing whatever I'm doing. And then I hear everyone yelling at the same time and I can't understand what they're telling me. And I finally, like, they all stop yelling and one person yells, which makes it much easier. Apparently the director was yelling at me to fall down. And so they were like, fall. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I, like, you know, fell as if I had had too much to drink.
Oh yeah, they had you like, they had them like lift you, right? Or am I imagining that?
That might have been someone else, or I forgot. I don't remember.
It might have been someone else. I haven't seen that video or the cut of the video in quite a long time. So mm-hmm.
I think I still have. Well, I know for sure. I can picture at least two photos that I think are like identical that I posted on Facebook the next day of just like people laying in the backyard. Like it was supposed to be the morning after the party and there are people passed out and they're like empty solo cups in the yard. I think I have a couple photos of that on Facebook or something.
Yeah, so do I. That's funny. Memories.
Yeah. But anyway, it was also fun even if we never got a final project. It was still fun.
That's what I say, yeah. Because, you know, obviously you're bummed that it never came out, but it was a fun day. It was a really good day.
Yeah.
A lot of people on set.
Yeah. You get the memories. So it's like it's not like you got nothing, I guess.
Right.
Well, you have a, so, wait, my brain is like running around now. Hold on. Come back, brain.
Oh my God. I feel you.
What was the name of that album that Stay was on?
It was my first album and the one that was distributed by Interscope Records at the time. It was called Love Hangover.
Love Hangover.
I'm like, I was, what, 21? Why did I name that album Love Hangover? Like, what? It sounds so, like, washed out. Like, I've been around the block a few times. Uh-huh.
You just started being legally hungover and you're like, Love Hangover.
Yeah. What did I know about love?
I wonder, because I still think of myself as a singer. I don't do it because I started focusing on acting a lot more in my early 20s, but I was a singer way before I was an actor. And so, like, that's still a part of me. When I'm on stage, I prefer to be in a musical because if I'm going to not sing while acting, I would rather just be on film. But I wonder about how musicians feel about things like that when they were successful so young, because I think about it probably way too often. I am so grateful that I didn't blow up on YouTube when I was younger. I'm so grateful because I would not have handled it well. I'd cringe at absolutely everything that I see of myself because I do that now and I wasn't, and like no one else saw it. And I'm still like, I can't believe I made that.
All of your fears in that are totally justified. You hit the nail right on the fucking head because I am so hard on myself because of that. Like, people are, like, I'll get drunk with my friends and, like, my boyfriend and his family, and, like, they always, like, trip out and, like, try to, like, build me up. And they're like, you don't understand, like, so many people would love to say that about yourself and, like, you're somebody. And I'm like, well, if I'm somebody, look, I can barely get people to listen to a single nowadays, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're so successful, so young, and, like, out of, like, dumb luck, that wasn't my intention to get signed and all that shit happened to me. Mm-hmm. You're just hard on yourself because you're constantly growing as an artist. There's, like, a million things I would much rather done differently. And in that sense, yeah, it can get really hard, especially if you're already like a person who's really hard on yourself. Mm-hmm. So you're totally right.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about that because when you like blew up on YouTube, it was before people were really blowing up on YouTube. You were like, I think of you as one of the first people anyway. And because it was around 2009, 2010, and YouTube had only been alive for like 5 seconds. So and yeah, there's now people like me are actively trying to grow on YouTube, and I'm doing it very, very, very slowly, but I can see that it's working. Whereas with you and plenty of other people, especially back then, no one knew even how to do it if they wanted to try. It just happened. Like, can you remember the first time one of your videos got like, I don't know, a ton of views unexpectedly?
Well, I still have a bad memory, especially when all that shit was going down. My memory is especially bad when it comes to that stuff. If it weren't for my mom, though, none of that stuff probably wouldn't have happened because she was good at like kind of overseeing everything. Not like as a parent, she wasn't like strict or anything, but she knew because I was shit at checking messages and getting back to people. She would kind of like skim over stuff, and she was the one that stumbled upon the Pharrell message and like them reaching out to me. And oh my God, I do this all the time. What was the original question? I always like veer off.
I do this where I don't remember what the question was. I get so caught up in what you're saying that I'm like, I don't know what I asked you. I don't care. I'm still
Me
interested.
too. I know, I get ca caught up in like what I'm talking about.
Oh, did we both remember at the same time?
Yeah.
Yeah, like what do you remember like what the first video that like took off was?
Oh man. That's so hard to say because I also like you, I cringe very easy at my like past projects, and I had this nasty habit of like deleting videos that I didn't want to see anymore. I just wanted to make it go away. So a few of those like racked up a couple of views, but I want to say just a shot in the dark. I think it might have been like my I'm Yours cover or I Kissed a Girl, maybe. Yeah, because I remember I had on this really ugly vest, and that was a long time ago in yeah, the timeline. Yeah. Yeah, we're even talking about it. It sounds like talking about someone else's life because I don't like identify with that person anymore. Like that shit happened, but I'm like, I want more. Like I'm a totally different person. Like I have goals now, you know? I have new goals. And if, you know, anyway, I can go on and on. Sorry, before I veer off again.
No, I totally get it though. I'm obsessed with my age. It's why I tell people I'm 22. I never let anyone actually believe it. I always clarify immediately after that that's not true. But I'm like,
That's nice.
ever since I turned 18, basically, I've kind of been like, well, it's all downhill from here. Like, I'm basically dead now. Great. I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Great. It's all over.
Oh my God. 18's so young, too.
Right? And like, now that I am older, I can look back and be like, I was thinking the other day, I was talking to the roommate that I never see the other day, and I was telling him how I was thinking about it, and I didn't even start to feel like, even though I was doing adult things, air quotes, paying my bills and all that bullshit, I didn't really feel like an adult until, or at least I didn't feel like I was growing up. There we go. That's a better way to phrase it. I didn't feel like I was maturing or changing as a person fundamentally until around 25. And that's when I was like, oh, I am now understanding that other people also have feelings and they might also matter as much as I do. I stopped like thinking about myself so much and treated other people like they were actually other people. And I didn't start doing that until I was about 25. And it wasn't until like last year that I was like, oh, I think I know what I want to do and possibly how I'm going to try to do it. Like, I didn't know any of that when I was in my
Yeah.
early 20s. So like,
God, yeah, that resonates so much. And let me tell you, there was a rude awakening ahead of us. I feel like, yeah, same. I want to say around the same age too. 'Cause while I think I moved to California when I was 23 around there, but oh man, like I think I put my passion had how do you say it? Like a bigger, what am I trying to say? My passion was hungrier than my maturity, if that makes sense. Yeah. I guess is the best way to put it. Yeah, because like I ripped it off like a Band-Aid, and then before I knew it, I was like, oh shit, oh shit. Gotta figure shit out, and life kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh my god. Yes. I feel that. So you were signed by Pharrell Williams, which we casually mentioned earlier, but we didn't like really clarify for the listeners. When I was like going over stuff to like outline this episode with you, I watched a couple of interviews, and Pharrell said something in one where he said he was like trying to get a hold of you for months before he finally did or something, and I guess.
Oh yeah.
I guess that explains it, because you were saying you don't check your messages. Your mom ended up doing it for you.
Yeah. So actually, it's probably her fault then, because that was her one job. Right. What the fuck, mom? Right. You had one job. I'm just kidding. I love you, mom.
But so when your mom finally got off her ass and read the message, like what was the process like after that?
Oh my god, it was almost like there was no process. It happened so fast. Like I called the number. It was a MySpace message.
Oh my god.
That goes to show how fucking old we are. Called the number, gave introductions, and they were, dude, I have a confession as well. I knew Pharrell's music, but I didn't know like the name to the music and the face, you know, like I'd seen him everywhere and I loved his music, but like it didn't like click. And yeah. I get so much shit from my boyfriend because of that, but I understand. I deserve it. I deserve the shit. They're like, we've been trying to get a hold of you. He's interested in working with you. He saw your videos, and I was like, okay, sure. Okay. How hard can it be? But I was shitting bricks. Like I was like thrown into this world, like that, you know, All I knew is that like I came from, you know, a musical background and that I love to sing. And I could barely even sing for an audience at this point. Like that's how crazy it was, the shift for me. After the call, I think they booked me on a flight to LA, created an itinerary, went to LA, met Pharrell and Jimmy Iovine, who's the owner of Interscope Records, at this big fancy studio, sang them I'm Yours on guitar, like the cover on YouTube. And then just started making plans to record my first album. And in retrospect, I'm veering off.
No,
sorry.
Go where the thought takes you.
Okay. Because I was talking about, starting the process to record my first album. And, I don't understand why people like labels have such a bad name. Maybe other labels, but like Pharrell was really respective of like the direction I wanted to go and like who I thought I was as a young artist. Mm-hmm. And most people would assume that Pharrell would produce my first album, but and I probably should have gone that route in retrospect. Mm-hmm. But at that time in my little career, I was the acoustic girl next door. Like I was like, I wanted to be the female Jason Mraz. Uh-huh. So he respected that and he loved it. I mean, that's what I was doing on YouTube. You know, I think that's what caught the eye of all these people. So he was awesome. He tracked down the guy that produced I'm Yours by Jason Mraz and worked with James Morrison and Adele, I believe, at one point. His name is Martin Tarifi, and he was located in London. So,
okay.
I never talk about this anymore.
I was wondering, because I was thinking, I thought that you recorded in London, and now I figured out why. Now the reason is here.
Yeah. Yes. So I relocated to London. It ended up being a 2 month trip, they decided, might as well stay here and record a whole album. Most albums take like a year to 2 years, but we did it in 2 months. Wow. And then they flew me to Miami when that was done, to get Pharrell's feature on the album, which is probably that interview that you watched, where he mentions they were trying to get a hold of me for six mm-hmm. months. Yeah, I'm with Pharrell and Martin, who's the producer of the uh-huh. album. So now it's all coming together. Yeah. Now. yeah, and that was that. And then they stuck me on a tour, and I don't think I was ready. I was a child. But it happened, mm-hmm. and I'm grateful for it. But
yeah.
We're hard on ourselves. And
uh-huh. And I mean, you're allowed to feel grateful for something and also think that maybe you weren't ready for it. I mean.
Absolutely.
Thank
yeah.
God. Yeah. 2 months? Jeez.
Right? Isn't that insane? Yeah. It was hard. It was hard because at the time, there our cellular devices at that time, for some reason, I couldn't like text and call internationally. Uh-huh. So I was dying without, I had a boyfriend at the time too. So I was like, oh heartache, heartbreak. Uh-huh. Like, how will I ever recover? Uh-huh. But yeah, it was definitely some shit. And my mom was with me though. I'm glad she was with me. I don't think I would have been able to get around at first in London without her. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
I'm trying to figure out if I've said it on the podcast before, and if I haven't, if I want to say it. I'll figure it out later, and I'll cut it if I need to, or I'll mute it. I was in D.C. I was in D.C. in December. It's because there was a whole lot of things, and it was a... Whatever. Anyway, I was in Washington, D.C. At the end of last year, and it was the first time in a decade since I had left Texas, and I was absolutely like, I don't know how, and I'd never been on a plane before. So even just here in Austin, when I got to the airport, I was like, okay, I'm in the door. I literally have no idea what to do now. And so I'm glad you had your mother with you back then.
It's so because scary.
Yeah, I was like, I could really use my mom right now.
Oh my gosh. Imagine. And we had to, there was no Uber. And we had to flag down British taxis. Imagine, like, and then, like every day. And then it got to the point where I would go off in the morning by myself and flag down a taxi and ride the taxi all the way to the studio. And it was cute, in uh-huh. a sense. But definitely super intimidating at first. I was like, oh, hell right. no.
So I'm still, like, I'm so caught up on the 2 months, writing an album in 2 months. That's so crazy. I've never even written an album, but when I think about what I've heard about it, I'm like, 2 months? Gee, like, you must have been exhausted.
Yeah, I was. Because I think I was still happy and, like, hadn't tackled my anxiety and all that stuff. So I was like, I'm just so tired. I mean, apart from, I'm sure, being super jet lagged. But, yeah, like, on those days where I just wanted to lay in bed and just enjoy my flat, uh-huh. as they call it. I couldn't, because they had a itinerary for me, and yeah, but we got it done. But also there was like a whole like team of like awesome studio musicians and songwriters that came in and like were a huge help. Mm-hmm. So that definitely moved the process along pretty yeah. quickly.
And also I think you... So your boyfriend is also a musician, right? Or a producer?
He is.
Okay, yeah. Because you were saying how he judged you for not knowing who Pharrell was back then. but like, yeah. I'm on your side because I knew his name. Like, I remember when you announced it on your YouTube channel, and I knew his name. But I was like, I think I know his music, but like, yeah. don't ask me for a title because I got nothing.
right. Yeah. yeah. He's just one of those guys. Like, he's in the limelight, whether you like it or not, and you're gonna see his name, like Beyonce, you can't run from it, like uh-huh. So that was kind of my situation. Like, I knew the song Frontin', or like I'm a hustle baby, you know, I knew all that, but
right
never paid attention, sorry for all
right. Hey y'all, The episode is not over yet. I just wanted to say a quick thank you for listening. And also, I wanted to invite you to join Can I Bother You's Patreon. Patreon is a platform that helps creators monetize their work and helps audiences get more of the work they love. I don't want to assume you love Can I Bother You, but if you at least like it a lot, like if you would wear Can I Bother You's pin, or give Can I Bother You your class ring, you know, if you feel like we're going steady, Can I Bother You's Patreon might be for you. Currently, Can I Bother You has one tier, and I'll be adding more in the not distant future, with perks like ad-free episodes and video episodes. Right now, if you pledge $5, I'll thank you and give you a shout-out in an episode, but you don't have to give that amount. You can give as much as you want or as little as $1. Thank you in advance for supporting the content that I make with your pledge, and thank you again for listening to the show. Join Can I Bother You's Patreon at patreon.com/canibotheryou. Link in the show notes.
That was partially why I stopped singing, because I was like, I got in my own head, and I was like, I feel like a poser. I feel like I can't talk enough about music, and like, it's good to have an understanding of your colleagues, but just because you can't talk about something doesn't mean you shouldn't pursue it if it's what you want to pursue, right? Like,
oh my gosh, that's so funny you say that. I feel the same exact way. Like, I feel like I don't listen to music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have my own, I feel like I've been stuck on the same music since I was in high school, and it's hard for me to catch on to, like, new artists. My boyfriend has really great, amazing taste in music, and he's put me on to some amazing artists, but it's kind of, like, just in the moment kind of thing when you're listening to them, mm-hmm. and, yeah, I'm not very musically knowledgeable either, and I guess some would argue, like, how do you not do your homework? Like, doesn't that come hand in hand in being an artist yourself? But I don't think so. Like,
yeah,
you can be influenced by an artist that you don't listen to, or, you know, like, just on the spot, mm-hmm. or, you know, so that's kind of how I've been going about things,
yeah,
my whole career.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's one of those.
But maybe in a sense, it's a good thing, because you don't get too influenced, and you're not like a copycat of someone else.
Uh-huh.
So that's how I see it.
Exactly. Yeah, there are definitely
right.
There are definitely things, because like for acting, it's similar. Acting coaches will tell you all the time, like, you need to be reading plays, you need to be seeing shows, and like watching movies, and like you need to be absorbing it. And I'm like, that is definitely important, but I also need to like go live my life and let that affect me, so I don't need to be standing. Yes. I don't need to be sitting in front of a screen all day watching other actors. I need to go be a full human so that I can make art from that.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, I mean,
exactly.
Yeah. There are definitely benefits to absorbing the art of people around you, but there are reasons to, like, go yeah. live your life too. So,
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Yay.
Like, I almost feel bad about it sometimes. I'm like, am I a poser? Like, am I not doing my homework enough? But I'm glad you feel the same way.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt, and why I stopped pursuing music. But you, so it's all right. I still sing. It's fine.
good.
But so the album came out. Was that the only album you ended up having with Interscope?
Yeah, and then I got dropped after that. I don't care. After they put me on the tour, then that's when I was dropped. But when people ask me for an explanation, I just put it to them this way. This is my theory. I think that I was one of those lab rats. I think, and also, side note, it happened to a lot of YouTubers that shared the same kind of experience, like Esme Denters, do you remember her?
Uh-huh.
She's a huge YouTuber, signed by Justin Timberlake. I had a friend named Dan who was signed by will.i.am. Another one was signed by Ryan Leslie. And they all dropped the ball on them,
mm-hmm.
Because they didn't want to honor their roots and honor the audience that got them there.
Mm-hmm.
And my theory is that they just dropped the ball on me. I was a lab rat. These other artists were lab rats. And mm-hmm. these big labels, it was new to them. You know, this whole, it was new territory for them, this whole YouTube world. So they didn't know what the fuck they were doing with us. Mm-hmm. I think that in honor what our audience was used to seeing and what they loved, and they went another direction with how they wanted to distribute our music. And I think they just ended up dropping the ball. Mm-hmm. They didn't look at like the diagnostics. They wanted me to pop off in the United States first. And I tried to tell them, look, like if you look at my YouTube diagnostics, I'm popular in the Philippines, I'm popular in Germany, like anywhere but the United States. And they're like, no, no, no. So like, why not put me on a tour over there? You know what I mean? Uh-huh. So, but that's just one of a lot of examples that, yeah, they kind of fucked up. But that's my theory, at least.
I think it's a...
But it's okay.
It's a strong theory, I think. Yeah, it sounds about right because, yeah, there have been plenty of YouTubers, especially back then, that got picked up and disappeared.
Yeah.
It's not like... It couldn't possibly be all of the YouTubers. Like, clearly... the people with exactly. with actual power maybe didn't do everything they could, but
exactly, you know. Yeah. I remember my manager calling me to let me know the bad news, and at that point I was just on the shelf for so long. After my second release, shit was just started moving at such a slow pace, and when he told me, I was like, oh, great, that's fine. Uh-huh. He was like, I'm so sorry. I was like, I'm not. Uh-huh. obviously, it's nice. What do you call it? It's really nice to have that, like, budget behind you and everything be paid for and, you know, having such a strong distributor behind you. But, yeah, it can definitely get super frustrating at times.
Yeah, for sure.
And now I have a lot of creative freedom and... Yeah, the only thing I miss is the money, the budgets.
I feel that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had an agent for a second, and it's not the same thing as being signed to, like, you know, some big record company. But, like, even just having an agent, it was not working out. Like, we weren't working. We didn't gel the way I expected. Even though we discussed what I saw for myself, that didn't seem to be exactly where they were trying to push me. And so we decided it was better that we just not work together anymore. And I felt so much better because it's like, you might think that, this sounds impressive. I have an agent or I'm signed to this company, but like, that doesn't mean that things are going well and it doesn't mean you can't do better without it. So like,
yeah. I definitely feel that. Yeah, sometimes having that agent or that manager just puts your career on hold.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And they're like, they're like wet weight. Is that a saying? I don't think it is, but I just made one.
Dead weight, dead weight.
I just made it up. Dead, yeah. Wet. I mean, it's like when you're wet, you're heavier, you know? Yeah. So I think that was my logic.
Yeah, no, that's it. I like wet weight better. It's fine.
Wet weight. You're such a wet weight.
Oh, like wet blanket. It's like wet blanket and dead weight.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, I think that's what I was thinking of. Yeah. Hilarious. Such wet weight. Okay, anyway, moving on from wet weight.
But so when you first, the tour that you've mentioned a couple times, that was the tour with Lifehouse?
Yeah, and Chris Allen,
yeah. Yes. I thought there was someone else and I didn't write it down, apparently. Okay, cool. Chris Allen was from American Idol, right?
Yes, he
okay,
was.
Okay, I'm trying to make sure I could point out how people might know the name. Okay, cool. Well, so that was like your first big tour, right?
Yeah, an only tour.
Oh.
I haven't toured since. Oh, actually, I lied. I did the Tyler War tour. Was it after that?
God, I wish I could remember. And I didn't even think to try to look up when either of these were. Oh, wait, no, I'm a liar. I did Google, because it was called the tour with Lifehouse and Chris Allen was called the Smoke and Mirrors tour. And at first, when I typed into Google, Smoke and Mirrors, I think... Some band put out an album called Smoke and Mirrors a couple years ago, and I was like, that's not what I'm looking for, Google. But
yeah, it was Smoke and Mirrors. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was cool. Again, I'm not trying to make it sound like I was like forced or like coerced into it, but I was like definitely pushed into another big experience that I had not experienced before, and it was like learning this much in like that amount of time. Mm-hmm. And I cannot watch clips because like my stage presence has grown immensely. And oh God, I was just a baby. I could barely even sing for people. I was so shy. And oh God, yeah.
I was going to ask if they like gave you any training or anything, because sitting in front of a camera with just you and your guitar is very different than being on stage in front of a bunch of people.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, they put me in like vocal lessons to, I guess like, improve my agility, I guess, vocal agility. Mm-hmm. And then they held like auditions for my band, and then we would rehearse every week. And I guess like in those rehearsals, I learned some, and then the vocal coaches like tried to, like hit two birds with one stone with me, I guess. They tried to teach me some stage presence, but I didn't really take to it very much. That comes with like time and experience. Like you can't really learn that. So it wasn't really getting through to me. So I didn't know how to apply that whatsoever. I just kind of like would groove on stage like a little bit. another cool thing or weird thing was I was the only girl on the entire tour. Like, and I was a young woman, like, mm-hmm. kind of weird, right? but thankfully I had my brother, in the band, who was my drummer at the time. So it wasn't like I was completely by myself.
That's good.
So there's that.
Yeah, like, I'm not a woman, but as a gay man, I feel more comfortable when there are either other queer people or women, and if I'm the only one in a group of a bunch of straight cis men, I'm like, I don't want to be here. I feel so uncomfortable right now, so.
You're gay? What?
Just a lot. If you know anyone in Texas.
Right.
I'm talking to y'all listeners, too. If you know anyone, I'm free.
Hey.
It's been a long quarantine.
He said, I'm free. Yeah. So cute.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, I definitely get that. Yeah. So it definitely would have been probably a little bit uncomfortable if I didn't have, like, a family member there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I definitely get what you're saying.
Yeah, for sure. Did y'all always stay on the bus?
We definitely explored a lot. I did remember passing up on a lot of stuff, though, because I was always sleepy. I was always tired.
Mm-hmm.
probably half, like, depression sleepy and half, like, exhaustion sleepy, because they did have me doing, like, interviews, like, every show and stuff like that, like, appearances and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we would kind of go out and explore. We also bought scooters. Like, everyone got a scooter. So every time we'd, like, arrive in a new city, we'd just, like, hop off the bus and scooter around downtown.
Nice.
It was cute. Yeah.
And you were also still, like, uploading YouTube videos, too, right? Just sort of, like, I think.
Yeah. I started, like, a recap.
There we go.
I started doing, like, recap episodes, yeah, of each city, well, as often as I could.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did a good job. Sometimes I'll go back and watch, and I'm like, aw, these are really cute.
Yeah, they are. Did you do the editing yourself?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, they're real cute.
Thank you.
My brain did a thing, and this is why earlier I told you to follow the thought, because I don't follow the thought, and then I sit here thinking, what was I thinking? It was something about something. Now I'm looking at my notes. Oh, I wrote down just the thing about how your twins are Vanessa Hudgens and Megan Nicole.
I love Vanessa Hudgens.
She
Megan Nicole looks like me.
Yes, that is the accurate way to phrase that.
Because I'm older, yes.
Yes. Damn, legit. What the hell was my thought? Oh, well, it's gone. I'm gonna let it go. It moved on without me. I'm gonna do the same. well, yes. Something we have not talked about yet, though, is the new single, Taken. I love it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay, like, tell us what it's about. Where did it come from?
Yes, it's very near and dear to my heart. Because I'm, so it's a... It's a single off of my upcoming EP.
Oh.
I haven't titled it yet, but it's either going to be called, like, taking from some of the singles off of the EP. It's either going to be named after a song called Everything or another song called Hold Your Breath. So maybe I'll hold, like, a poll for the listeners to, like, pick the name of the EP. So, yeah, Taken is the first single off of the EP. It's my baby. I'm super involved in this EP. I wrote it all. I engineered all of my vocals and stuff.
Nice.
And then I'm working, thank you. And then I'm working with these talented couple of dudes who are like a production duo. They're called Soul Snacks. I met them off of browsing on YouTube for like type beats. And then I stumbled upon their beats on YouTube. Uh-huh. And I just kind of sent them a message. And basically, they liked my stuff so much that they were like, hey, are you down to do an entire like project? And I was like, say less. Uh-huh. So, yeah, that's how the EP came to be. But as far as Taken, the single, it's not based on like a specific person, more of like a, you know, it's happened in the past where like mm-hmm. people or men are trying to slide in those DMs and mm-hmm. A little thirsty and like never respect when you're in a happy relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Taken's called, or that's what Taken is kind of about.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You...
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
That was like all over the place. Sorry.
That's my favorite thing about hearing people talk about their work is that they get so excited that they go all over the place. And like, it makes me excited for it. So like, into it, here for it.
Oh. Thank you. Yeah. I know that I kind of like lost it towards the end, but you get it. You get it.
We found our way back. No.
That's what I should have done. Grabbed a water. Sorry, go ahead.
Water is so important. Basically every episode of this podcast and every video that I put on YouTube, I'm like, drink water, please, because no one does it enough.
I should have. Oh, well. I do have water in here.
Oh, yay.
I'm going to grab it.
Do it. Have you had any water today? Please water yourself. If you need reminders to drink water, you need a DaVico water bottle. This is not sponsored. The DaVico water bottle is just the water bottle that I happen to use and would recommend. Well, am recommending. The DaVico water bottle is 32 ounces and has both ounces and time markers labeled on the side so you can keep an eye on your water intake throughout the day. The plastic is BPA-free and it comes in some really pretty colors. I went basic and got a solid blue bottle, but it has some gorgeous gradient colors too, including a blue that transitions into a pinkish purple that I almost got because it's similar to Can I Bother You's colors. The DaVico water bottle also comes with a removable filter, so if you like fruit in your water, some lemons, cucumbers, maybe some strawberries, you can drink water without any wedges blocking the water flow. The pop-up lid makes me feel way cooler than it should because I like hitting the button, letting the lid pop up, and taking a sip, you know, all while walking. I do it one-handed, super cash, like the badass that I am. And there's also a silicone seal on the lid and a lock to keep the lid in place when it's closed, so you don't have to worry about spills if you want to toss it in your bag or anything. I use this water bottle every day, and I think you will too. I will leave a link in the show notes where you can purchase it. Again, Can I Bother You is not sponsored by the DaVico water bottle, but as an Amazon associate, I earn from qualifying purchases at no extra charge to you. Even if you don't buy one though, I hope you'll keep an eye on how much water you're getting because it is necessary. Please drink water. Yay.
Water, drank.
Yay, welcome back.
I'm not thirsty no more like these guys in the DMs. Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding. So stupid.
I mean, that doesn't make it not accurate, though.
Right.
Yeah, I love it. I can't think of a better way to phrase this, but like, what, So, listeners, the way Alyssa described her song, like, she made it exactly what she described. Like, she had her goal and she reached it. You need to hear the song. I will leave it in the links in the description, of course, the show notes. How many... So, it sounds like the EP is basically ready to go. Do you know how many tracks it's going to have?
It's going to have 7. It's a short...
Nice.
A mini album. Yes, and then we're actually gearing up right now to drop a second single. It's going to be called Hold Your Breath. So yeah, I'm really excited about it. And then there'll be a third single. And then after that, I'll drop the entire EP.
Oh, cool. Do you have a timeline that you can share, or is it all a surprise?
It's all kind of like on the fly. Yeah, no time. I'm not good with timelines. Cool. I'm scared of commitment. So
I feel that.
Right? I hate it. I never understood how some YouTubers would commit to, you know, I post every Wednesday, every Friday. I'm like, how do you do that? Mm-hmm. That terrifies me.
I have to tell myself that just so that I'll do anything at all. Because if I don't at least tell myself it will be at this time or day, I'll be like, I'll get to it eventually.
Exactly.
But I also never really expect myself to follow that schedule. It's just to make me do something. And then when I fall off of it, I just work around it. And I'm like, I'll get there. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no commitment to the EP. I'm just kind of winging it. And yeah, I'll let you guys know, though. Don't worry.
Please. Please do. I also, we can talk more about the EP also, but I also wanted to mention or ask if you and, is it, I also meant to ask you this off air and I forgot. It's IV Lane, right? That's how.
Yeah.
That's, mm-hmm. Okay. I was like, it's not 4 lane, is it? Okay. but IV Lane is a new group that y'all seem to be working on. Do y'all have any new singles coming out for that?
We're currently in the studio right now. I'm actually going to be in Texas in June. So next month, the end of June. Or actually, beginning of June. Oh my gosh, that's right around the corner. I'm going to be in the studio with IV Lane next month. So yeah, right now we're just collecting records. We put out a single last October, called I'm Not in Love. So if you want like kind of like a sneak peek into my band, IV Lane, you can definitely listen to that. But yeah, as of now, we're just collecting records. We've already had some setbacks. Uh-huh. So hence the name IV Lane. There used to be 4 of us. And unfortunately, we lost 2 of the girls. Well, they're still alive, but they're not in the group anymore. Uh-huh. Instead of like renaming the group, I guess we took a liking to IV Lane, so we just stayed with IV Lane. Even though now we only have 3 girls, and we thought 3 is a good number. We found a girl. Her name's Alyssa as well. Oh. We thought that she was like our missing puzzle piece. So, from here on out, IV Lane's going to be a 3-piece girl set. So hence being in the studio and collecting records. Uh-huh. But, you people should definitely follow the band because this is definitely my baby. This is my project. Uh-huh. And, I have a lot of passion behind it, and I have a lot of faith behind it. And I know we're going to do, like, really great things and make really great music because the band consists of, like, 2 other awesome artists, Glow and Alyssa. So, yeah, definitely keep your eyes peeled for IV Lane.
Yeah, I'm going to leave all that in the show notes, too. How did y'all start that? Where did it come from?
So we have an awesome investor named Emmett. Emmett and I, we go back from San Antonio. He's showed up to some of my shows, and he's always wanted to work with me. He dabbles in music. he has his own like company, but he essentially wants to be like the next Scooter Braun. So when we caught up, finally, he finally got me on a phone call, and he was just kind of like, we were just having conversation. He asked me, you know, what my goals were, and like, I just kind of like vocalized to him that like one of my like low key dreams was to have a girl group, and he was like, I'm down. You're down. So that's literally how it happened. And I recruited my good friend Glo, who I've known for years. We met on set of, oh my gosh, this is a whole other story, but we can finish Ivy Lane. I almost did The Voice, and that's how I met Glo. Yeah. So yeah, that's how Ivy Lane came to be.
Cool. I don't even know how to like say it, but I had I'm Not in Love on repeat for like a solid 2 weeks, like, and that's not really an exaggeration. Like, it's basically all I heard for like 2 weeks because I was so into it.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Cool. I'm glad you heard it. That's cool. I didn't think anyone was like listening to that because not all of my following has got the memo about Ivy Lane. Mm-hmm. So that's good to hear. I'm glad. Thank you so much.
Of course. Yeah, man, internet algorithms are the stupidest thing to try to get past.
Yeah, trust me. I had like the worst day ever yesterday because, well, this could be off the record. I don't care. Because I got an update on my single and it was so disappointing. Aww. And I was so upset. I know. I was so upset because, like, this is so dear to, like, near and dear to me. And, like, I worked so hard on it. And, like, algorithms, like, I'll never understand. And, like, even if you have numbers, like, you know, like, I don't have a lot of following compared to other people. But, I mean, compared to, like, millions, you know, that some people have. But, you know, it just doesn't add up. I'm like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, hate algorithm.
Yes. I was going to ask a question. Oh, yes, the single and the EP also. Are they both digital? Like, I assume, because man, I don't even know if people buy CDs anymore, but like, I'd imagine that getting those even made is costing too much money. Are you just going digital for this one?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Spotify, Apple Music, and I put it on SoundCloud as well, so you can stream it there.
Cool. Well, definitely, listeners, everywhere it's available, I will leave it in the show notes.
I appreciate it.
Of course. I'm so excited. I don't want to do that thing where I gush over you and I make you feel all awkward, but, like, I've always been so into everything you make, just really and truly.
Aw, AJ, thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you. That's, thank you.
I appreciate that, truly.
Yeah, you were one of the first, like, yeah, you might have been, I don't know if this is accurate. If you weren't the very first YouTuber that I, like, obsessed over, you were at least the second. I'm trying to, like, remember.
Hey, but I'll take second, too, because that shit was a long time ago.
So long ago, oh my god. Well, thank you again for hanging out with us. Be grateful for it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun. So thank you.
Listeners, make sure you are drinking plenty of water. It's very important. Make sure that you pee after sex. That is also very, very important. And if you have time to get outside, maybe you should try that too, because that's important to me. So thanks for
listening. Sunny D.
Yes.
Get that sunny D.
Exactly. Bye, everyone.
Bye.